Okay. The speaker in Somit basically dealt with three issues. An assumption that using various grama devices is going to limit chilul Shabbos, and therefore, in situations which are not pikuach nefesh, yitachein that a limiting of chilul Shabbos would be meaningful. And in situations which are pikuach nefesh, certainly a limitation of chilul Shabbos would also be meaningful. Secondly, he discussed or took for granted that onik Shabbos allows an individual to use grama devices. And thirdly, he mentioned that currently the cutting edge of technology is moving from grama into the concept of modulating currents, which is a whole new world, and like all new worlds, opens up tremendous opportunities of tikkun, and also opens up tremendous opportunities of kilkul. So we'll talk about each of these separately. Firstly, in terms of grama, there are two sugyas that we have in Masechet Shabbos. There are two sugyas that we have in Shas that deal with grama. One is the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chaf Amadeis, where the Gemara says, in the question of how to put out a fire on Shabbos, Lo sasech amalacha, asiyahu da'asur, grama shari. The meikar hadin mi da'araisa, there is no problem of doing malacha via grama on Shabbos. The Torah speaks about malacha being asur via asiya. And grama is not asiya. It's generally going to be asur midrabanan, but in cases of hefsed meruba, like a fire, we can be matir, and therefore the Mishnah on Shabbos and Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph allowed a person to take vessels of cheres to fill them with water, and if there's a fire, to create a machitza between the area that you don't want to be burnt and the fire with these kadim of cheres. When the fire comes close to them, the kadim are going to burst from the heat, and the water is going to flow out, and it's going to put out the fire. That's the Asiyahu da'asur, grama shari. That's one sugya. A second sugya is in Baba Kama on Daf Samach Amud Aleph. Over there, the Gemara points out that in the world of Mazik, that's what it's dealing with over there in Baba Kama Samach Amud Aleph, that if a person has a situation where Liba, the Lipta Haruach, where you have a fire that has two causes of its movement. One is the fact that this person took a wind machine and blew on it, and secondly, we also have a ruach, and this would destroy someone else's property. That's called koach acher meruach bo, and the Gemara says that it's patur. The Gemara then asks, patur meaning bedinei adam. The Gemara asks, how is that different than zore v'haruach mesayato? That on Shabbos we have one of the lametas avos malchus being threshing. Threshing is you take the wheat, you throw it to the air, and the wind separates the wheat and the chaff. So you see we have a koach acher meruach bo, and that you are chayav. So Rav Ashi says, Zora is a din in Shabbos, and Shabbos is a principle of Melachas Machsheves Asra Torah. But over here we're talking about Nezikin, and a Nezikin, grama ba'almahu, is patur. Just as an aside, we're used to viewing Melachas Machsheves as a reason for patur. Melachas Machsheves Asra Torah, therefore, Shelo Kedarka is mutar, Misasek is mutar, Davar Sheino Miskaven is mutar, Melacha Shein Tzrich LeGufa is mutar, Mekalkel is mutar. Namely, Melachas Machsheves is a reason, you know, that when you have all of these chesronos, there's a lack of Machsheves, it's a patur. However, over here we have Melachas Machsheves being used as a Mechayev. According to Rav Ashi, the fact that the Torah says Melachas Machsheves means we view a person's goal. We don't necessarily view his action, we view his goal. And if his goal is being fulfilled, we're going to have a chiyuv. In the world of Nezikin, it's grama and it's patur. In the world of Shabbos, even though it's grama, it's going to be chayuv kas melachas machshavas. You should be aware, Rav Asher Weiss has a marechet on this category. It's in his book on Parashas Vayakel. There's an article called Melachas Machshavas, and he points out that there are 19 places in Shas where melachas machshavas is used as a patur, and there are 7 places in Shas where Melachas Machsheves is used as a Machayev. This is one of those 7 places. So, our problem is as follows. How do we balance the two Gemaras? Namely, we have one Gemara that says that Grama is Mutar on Shabbos, because the Torah says Asiya. And then we have another Gemara that says in the world of Zora, Grama, the person is simply taking it and he's throwing it in the air, and then the wind is doing the separation. He is Gorem the Malacha. We say that's Chayav, because Malachas Machsheves Asra Torah, that Malachas Machsheves turns the Grama into a Maisa. How do we deal with these two Gemaras? So this Machokus Rishonim, how to deal with the two Gemaras. The Rush over there in Bava Kama says that this is a Yotzei Dofen of Zora. This is not a rule, B'chol HaTorah Kula, that if your Machsheva is being done, then Grama is viewed as a Maisa. It's specifically in terms of the Malacha of Zora. This is the classic way in which Zora is done. Zora is done by the Ruach. The Ruach is that which separates the wheat, the chaff from the grain. And the person's action is allowing for that to occur. And therefore, Malachas Machsheves Hasra Torah, this is what was done in the time of the Mishkan in order to be able to perfect the grain. And that's the Yotzei Dofen. But in general, leaving aside Zora, we always say that Grama is Mutar. However, even though the Rosh learns like that, but Rabbeinu Chananel, on the Gemara, on Daf Kuf Chaf, Amud Beis, on the Gemara that says, Osasecho Malacha, Asiyuhu Da'asar, but Grama Mutar, Rabbeinu Chananel says, and there's another sugya of Grama in Shabbos on Daf Samach, where as long as Ashvei Machshavto, as long as his Machshav is being done, it's going to be chayav. Namely, Rabbeinu Chananel felt that these two gemaras have to always be dealt with when we're dealing with grama. That there's a grama which is mutar, and there's a grama which is chayav. Rashi in Bava Kama also appears to be like Rabbeinu Chananel. So our problem is, yes?
How do Rabbeinu Chananel deal with the Hetzer and Shabbos?
So that's the question. How does, in other words, Kaner Kron Rabbeinu Chananel, there's a basic difference between the grama of putting up a machitza of kadim that have water in front of a fire. There we say that grama is mutar. And Zora, there we say grama is chayav. There are two types of grama. One is chayav and one is mutar. Where do we draw the distinction between these two? That's a machokes achronim. Not a machokes rishonim, but a machokes achronim. And there are four approaches within the world of the Achronim. And of course, in terms of what we heard today about Grama, it will depend upon which of these approaches we're going to understand as being meaningful halacha l'maisa. The first approach is that it's quoted, there's a Tshuvas Beis Yitzchak who quotes a Tshuvas Zera Emes, but it's also a Pnei Yoshua in Beitza on Daf Kaf Beis Amar Aleph, that the difference is one of time. That if we have a delay in time between the time that a person does his gram and the malacha is being done, that's the grama which is mutar. Ma she'en kein, if we have a direct continuity between the gram and the asiyas hamalacha, then in terms of time, in other words, that it's sort of sha'a achas, that's the grama which is chayef, namely that here's the fire over here. I'm putting the kadim over here. 5 minutes later, the fire gets to the kadim, and they break and put out the fire. That's the gram, which is mutar. Ma she'en kein, I'm not going to throw the grain in the air when there's no wind. I'm going to wait till there's a wind. And when there's a wind, I'm going to take my pitchfork and throw the grain and the chaff into the air. So then, as I am doing the act, as I am doing my gram, the malacha is being done. When we have that lack of a time gap, when we have that immediacy, that's the gram which is chayav. So one has to check in terms of simply the clock. That if one follows upon the other immediately, then that's chayav. If there's going to be a delay, that's going to be mutar. Okay, mutar midorei. So that's one approach. The second approach is also found in the Achronim, the Shebina Rav Dovev Misharim. But since they published the Ritva, the new Ritva, the Ritva Chadashos on Shabbos, basically the ideas in the Ritva on Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis, that it depends as to whether we have something which is a suffix or something which is barur. In the case of the Kadim of Mayim, I'm not certain that it's going to put out the fire. My cheshbon is it's going to put out the fire, but it depends on many, many factors. It could be that there's going to be a very strong wind and the fire is going to jump over the kadim. It could be that the water is going to put out half the fire and not all the fire. I'm doing my best to try and get to a certain conclusion, to a certain totza'ah, but I'm not certain it's going to happen. then if the fire is put out, that's the gram which is mutar. However, in the situation of the zora and the ruach, I'm taking advantage of the natural laws of physics, that that which is light is going to be carried by the wind, and that which is heavy is going to fall. I know that it's going to happen. There's no question that's going to happen. That's the grama which is chayav. Yes?
It sounds like it's zera shein miskaven that you're miskaven for. Basically, you don't know it's going
to
happen. But
I want it to happen. I'm miskaven. No, over here I'm miskaven that it should be. In other words, even Rabbi Shimon, who's matir, davar shenam miskaven, it's only if it's in a miskaven. But if he's miskaven, even Rabbi Shimon answers it. Over here, where I'm being matir, it's miskaven, but we're not certain because I'm only a gram. I'm not doing the action. The third approach is quoted both in the Achiezer,
Where the green shaft goes, if there's no wind, it won't.
No, I'm only going to throw it if there's a wind. Namely, I'm going to wait. No one stam is going to throw things in the air. I'm going to wait until there's a wind. And then when there's a wind, I'm going to throw into the air.
Does that suffer from the same possibility as the fire and the barrel, meaning the wind can stop?
No. The fire and the barrel, in other words, the fire is there. I am going to I'm going to try and do my best to put out that fire without doing a malacha. So I have this theory that if I put this chain of kadim, it's going to put out the fire. Sometimes, yes, sometimes it could be the fire will go out even before it gets there. Namely, there's no, in other words, there have to be a lot of factors involved that are going to create a, in other words, there's a certain suffix. We don't know whether that suffix has to be a 50-50 suffix, 75-25. There's a degree of suffix. Again, it could be the fire is going to go out before it gets there. That's what the Ritva points out. Or it could be the fire is going to get there and go beyond. Mashain came in the case of threshing, barur to me. It's barur to me that this is going to be the totsah. The third approach I mentioned, that Reb Chaim Ozer in Vilna, in the Achiezer Chelo Gimel Siman Samach, he has a tshuva on electricity, and he was asked that maybe electricity is mutter because it's grama, because when you're turning on the switch, all you're doing is a grama, and so maybe that's what's mutter. And then we have a Chazon Ish who also gives a similar svara. I'll say the svara in a minute. In Orach Chaim Siman Lavad Vav, in terms of using a machine for a plowing machine, and the Mishnah Brura also has the same svara in Siman Shin Tet Zayin Sif Katan Yud. I'll give you the case in a minute, and that is that it all depends as to whether you are doing it in the normal way that this malacha is done. The normal way of putting out fires is not to put water in casks and to have the fire break the cask and be put out by the water. Mashenkin, the normal way of threshing is to throw grain into the air, into the wind and have it thresh. Namely, in Achinami, both of them, the person serves as a gorein. The question is, do we have a sense of normalcy or don't we have a sense of normalcy? Malachas Machsheves Asra Torah. Malachas Machsheves is not just that my ratzon was done, but this is the way that the malacha is usually done. So Reb Chaim Ozer said that this is the way of electricity. Electricity means that you connect two wires. That's the normal way it's done. And therefore, even if we're going to view it as a grama, that's the way that the malacha is done. Hu adin Reb Chaim, that's what the Chazon Ish says about using machines. If we have a plowing machine, that's the way plowing is done nowadays with plowing machines. It's not done any longer with a plow attached to a donkey, and the Mishnah Brura is a case of tzad of catching animals, of trapping animals with dogs, that you are mashasa a kelev, and then the kelev goes and the kelev corners the particular animal that you want. You're the gram, you're mashasa the kelev, and then the kelev is your kein yoda arichta. In other words, the kelev is doing the act. That's considered to be a chiyuv de oraisa of tzad, even though you're only a gorem, because that's the way you catch animals. You catch animals taking advantage of other animals that are trained by you. The Shar HaTziyun, Sifkat on Yud Gimel, points out this is kein derech hatzayadim. Derech hatzayadim, that's the grama, which is chayav. So far we have a distinction between a time lapse or an immediacy. We have another distinction in terms of is it vaday or is it suffik, and the third distinction is this kedarko or not kedarko. The fourth, yes?
Then might have thrown by soaking
So the Magen Avraham, I didn't want to get involved in because that may be a different track of malacha. There may be a track of malacha of setting up a certain result. That's what we discussed in Hilchos Shabbos, like Bishul. You don't cook. The oven cooks. You're chayev for setting up the result, for putting the fire and the oven and the dough, etc. The question is whether tochein is a malacha of a maise, like kotzer, and therefore it's only tochein biyad, or it's setting up a result of tchina, and therefore even a watermill or a windmill would be considered to be tochein midoraisa. It's parallel. It's parallel to the same concept of the Chazon Ish says, what is the truth? What is the real tochein depends upon kedarko. So the Chazon Ish points out that if kedarko of being tzad, let's say for example, is to set a trap, and an animal would be trapped on its own on Shabbos, and the animal will be trapped on its own on Shabbos, that's considered to be, you set up the, you know, that's considered to be tzedah. So it's parallel. It's a similar Chazon Ish. It's the same schnitt that we take into account that which is the norm. The fourth approach is that of the Rav, of Rav Soloveitchik. The Rav is quoted in Nefesh HaRav on Daf Kuf Samach Tes, that he holds that grama, which is going to be mutter, is only if the koach acher, if the end result, that which you are setting up, did not exist at the time that you did your maisa. Namely, that the kibui, the process of kibui, didn't that power of kibui wasn't there when you put the kadim in that place. It was all in theory, it was all in potential. Like sof chamalavo, if you were to tie someone to the train tracks and the train is now going to come, 4 hours later, or you put someone in a place where the sun is going to shine on him 4 hours later, that's considered to be the grama which on Shabbos is mutter. However, if the koach is there currently, if koach is already there, and you're just creating a time lapse artificially. That's not. There's no heter of grama. Namely, according to the Rav, if you have a Shabbos clock which is on Shabbos, and you want to move the pins such that the light will go on an hour earlier, an hour later, etc. That's not grama. That's a maisa. Namely, that the Shabbos clock is working already. And who hadin in terms of the contraption on the front of the wall. And I believe where you had the wheel that was turning, and then you take a spoke and you put it in, you put it out. Once that wheel is already turning, that's not a din of grama, that's a din of maisa. So that's the fourth distinction, that's the distinction of the Rav. So in terms of using a grama mechanism, so let's take it according to all four approaches. If it's the approach of the time differential, so then it depends. If everything works the way it worked in the laboratory, namely that when you pick up the phone, you don't hear any dial tone, and then you count 1, 2, 3, and you hear a dial tone, so we could call that classically grama. However, when he was Nasiach Lefitumo, and he says, well, we don't make things like this in words, for sale. When we make them for sale, we make a much shorter time differentiation because we want people who are a chiloni not to feel that they're being forced into keeping Shabbos. And we want bichal that things should be more efficient. So we simply make. So then, you know, that's the question: do you really have a time differentiation or not? If you do, it's grama. If you don't, it's not grama. If we're going to take the second approach, it's a question of vaday or suffik. All of the grama machines are working on a vaday principle. Danny wanted to mention that maybe we can put a certain randomness in, and he said, no. No one's going to use it if we put the random. Certainly, if it's not going to always work. You can't have a phone which is going to work 19 out of 20 times. No doctor is going to buy such a phone. So Barer, you know, the grama machines are built that Barer it's going to work. Their concept of grama is the time lapse, but Barer that, you know, after it counts 1, 2, it's going to work. So according to the second approach, that's chayav. That's a chiyuv d'oraisa. That's not a heter. According to the third approach, as to whether this is the norm or not the norm, so then it depends, to a certain degree, how much is nikar. In other words, if everything is inside of a box, you know, all you see in front of you is a phone, and you have no idea how the mechanism of the phone... Sorry, just...
Hello?
Yes?
Okay, so according to the first approach, it's possible, you know, that this this really is a grama which is mutar meikar hadin, which is asur drabanan, and would be mutar in situations of cholim and v'chuvay v'chuvay. In the second approach, nothing doing. The second approach is one of vada in suffix. This is a vada. The third approach, namely that it depends on whether it's kedarko, so that's a question of that which is nikar to us. Does this appear to us to be kedarko? Does this phone appear like a normal phone? Does this ventilator appear like a normal ventilator? And here the chora, which it appears to me that one of the factors that's involved, and this Rav Asher Weiss, he was asked this question, and this is what he pointed out, is that in general, our rule is that which is not nikar la'ayin, even if it's there, we don't take into account in terms of the halachic process. The Rav who gave the presentation mentioned that in terms of what goes on inside of the computer. That what goes on inside of the computer, those mini circuits that are going on and off, that those are like the tola'im that you don't see, those are like the maranida that you can only see with a microscope, that's the pegumim on the esrog that you can only see with a magnifying glass. We don't take that into account in halacha. So if in words, unless we're going to have a situation which would somehow be really nikar, which would really be nikar, that there's somehow something over here which is shloka darko, then, you know, it's very hard to be able to use that third approach, you know, it's to say we have a heter according to third approach.
What if you had a sign that it's the ground
phone? No. It has to be, nikar means, is this kedarko? If the phone is working kedarko, then lechora, this is the phone. This is the way that usually things work, yes?
If the phone works on a delay, that's
lechora
not kedarko, right?
That lechora is not kedarko if it's a serious delay. But I'm just pointing out that I am not certain that the phones that they sell have that same time delay as the phone that they show there. They wanted to give us a sense of what's going on, not necessarily that is the phone which is sold. I think with someone in the room who saw the phones that were sold, and when you pick it up, you know, by the time you put it by your ear, you already have a dial tone. It could very well be that if you listen from the time you pick it up, you're not going to have a dial tone, but by the time it comes to your ear, you already have a dial tone. Otherwise, it wouldn't go in America for a doctor. So that then is an open question. According to the Rav, then it's out. Namely, everything is on the table. All the kochos are working. All the electricity is working. It's no better than a Shabbos clock on Shabbos that the Rav holds. You can't move a Shabbos clock on Shabbos. Namely, the Hetzer we find Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Well, you can move it this way because it's only a grama, and if you have a Tzarach Gadol, that the Rav doesn't hold of. As long as all the electricity is working already, there's not going to be a Hetzer of grama. Then there is a fourth factor as well, and that's Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv was what? A fifth, right? There are four ways of understanding grama. Rav Yashiv says it's totally irrelevant how you understand grama. You can understand grama like the Rav, you can understand like the Achiyes, you can understand grama like the Ritva, you can understand grama like the Pnei Yoshua. However you want to understand grama, if you make a machine, if you make a mechanism specifically using your grama in order to get to a certain result, that's called asiya. Namely, that by its nature, the fact that you are creating this phone, you are then you are currently using electricity. That's considered to be an asiya. Anything which is built specifically for a certain function via grama, that's no longer called grama. Yes?
You were just saying the Gemara Shabbos is a cry or something like that? That's also built.
No. You didn't. There's no mechanism which is built. You're not going to sell this as a means of putting out fires on Shabbos.
Right.
It's simply, it's your hamtza'ah. Exactly. It's your, when you come up with a hamtza'ah, this chad pa'mi hamtza'ah, that's, you know, that's mutter. But to go ahead and sell these and to have a patent on it, etc., that by its nature is bringing it into the world of asiyah. No matter how you're going to define grama, it could be something where there's going to be a time delay. There's going to be a suffix. It's going to be clear that it's shelo kedarko, and the electricity is not going to be even beyond from beforehand. Becholzot, Rav Yashiv would hold that you doesn't get off the ground. So these then are, you know, words. So in order to come up with the patent of Machon Somet, it means that the Machoksim between Who agreed? In other words, Rabbi Yashiv was basically said this Baal Peh, but it was quoted. There's a sefer called Shvus Yitzchak. We have some volumes in the Beis Medrash downstairs, one on Shihi and Hachzara, and another one on Hilchos Pesach. It's written by Rav Yitzchak Darzi, Talmud Muvok of Rav Yashiv. So he had, there's also a book on Grama. So in the book on Grama, he quotes Rav Yashiv. In the Orchos Shabbos, Chelek Gimel, page Resh Mem Hei, they also quote Rav Yashiv. And in that book, Rav Shmuel Auerbach claims that his father agreed with Rav Yashiv. That's a question. Namely, the whole Machon Tzomet is built on the fact that Rav Shlomo Zalman was their guru. And so let's assume that there were two traditions in terms of what Rav Shlomo Zalman may have held or not held. Rav Neubert is very, very, very diplomatic and simply leaves out, even of the new edition that came out this year, in which these Grama machines have been in existence for the last 10 years, Mit'alem Mizel Gamri. The new edition came out with an introduction of the principles of Malchus Nachsheves. There are four pages on Grama, full of footnotes. Not one word is mentioned in terms of how to relate to the Grama, the Grama industry. So I think that it has to be put into context, namely that according to the approach that it's a question of a time delay, and if you're willing to say the time delay is something that can even be a relatively short time delay, then certainly there is room. According to all the other approaches, it's very, very problematic. Should b'chol zot it be used? It may not be necessarily that which it was cut out to be. When you were dealing with case of pikuach nefesh, so actually, it's certainly kedai for a doctor to use this. Maybe really he's getting to a level of heter. However, in terms of the second topic that was discussed, namely that onik Shabbos can allow a grama, that's not so pashut. That divrei hanaviim are going to take precedence over drabanan. In our lexicon, divrei kabbalah basically are drabanan. They're just very ancient drabanan. Like a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu is a takana. Divrei hanaviim lechora is not more than a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu or of Shlomo Hamelech. We view takonas of Shlomo HaMelech as drabanan. There are certain unique situations where we find, in terms of tzom, that that divrei kabbalah may be chamor than a normal drabanan. But to assume that onik Shabbos is going to be matir dinim drabanan, and that's very problematic. A and B, what is considered to be onik Shabbos is also very problematic. Certainly, to deal with the will. With a paralyzed child and give him as an example of Onik Shabbos, the fact that he would be able to have a certain degree of movement, that one can understand. But where do you draw the line between the child who is paralyzed and someone who has difficulty walking and won't be able to get to shul? So they won't be able to get to shul. I mean, in other words, that is not necessarily, there are other factors that can you can alleviate that person's sense of loneliness by visiting him on Shabbos. Doesn't necessarily mean that you have to therefore buy him a scooter that he can scoot to shul on Shabbos. And it's a slippery slope. So clearly there is a category, there is a form of a certain degree of choli that we would view that this person would not be having a Shabbos, and if we can give him more of a Shabbos, it's something very, very wonderful. But where you draw the line is very questionable. Yes?
Do you know of any Makoros who suggests that
he claims that Rav Shlomo Zalman was the one who asked them to make a wheelchair for a child who was paralyzed.
Also for the woman. A woman to get to shul. A woman.
It wasn't a question of getting to shul. That's the whole thing. Rav Shlomo Zalman would never have made a wheelchair for a woman to get to shul. It was for a woman to have the ability of movement in her home. In other words, to be able to move from place to place in her home, that she wouldn't need someone to carry her, that she'd be able to have some sense of movement in her home. You understand, Rosh Hashanah's wife didn't go to shul on Shabbos. You're not talking about, she's a Yerushalmi. It's not a question of going to shul, that a woman should go to shul on Shabbos is not a Yerushalmi minhag. That would not be considered to be a lack of onik Shabbos. He dealt with a woman who needed this in order to have a certain degree of mobility. But between that and, currently the way it has been interpreted, one has to ask, and then if this person says his onik Shabbos is to write Chidushei Torah, and another person's onik Shabbos is X, another person's onik Shabbos is Y, where does one draw the line? I mean, clearly, everyone would agree that if your onik Shabbos is to watch the Jets and the Steelers, no one's going to say that that's going to be mutter on Shabbos for you to do it via grumma, to have it on a timer. No one's going to say that. So where do you draw the line? There's a concept of Shabbaton, of Uvda Dechol. Where do you draw the line? That's something that really has to be thought through.
So Rabbi saying that, I mean, we believe that Rosh Hashanah Zalman said that, I mean, obviously, he's saying, so there are cases.
Certainly there are cases. But I don't know if I would call them Onik Shabbos. Maybe you would have a category that you would call Me'ein, a certain type of a machal, what? Briyat HaNefesh, or Mashu.
A few years ago, I was at Summit, and the person who presented, I think the same story, presented as Kavod HaBrios.
So I wanted to point, Kavod HaBrios is also the same slippery slope. There's Professor Daniel Sperber, he should live and be well, he's a very wonderful individual, and his parent and his father was a fine dayan in London. He put out a book, I think with the title of Kavod HaBrios, not mistaken, in terms of giving women aliyos on Shabbos because of Kavod HaBrios. Namely, the whole book deals with the fact that Kavod HaBrios is this untapped, it's heter that we have to be much more, we have to use much more often. He took the Otzer Hashut and he put in the words Kavod HaBrios and came out, with 400 shelos of tshuvos that bring Kavod HaBrios as a factor. But the question is, we have to go through each of those 400 tshuvos, see A, who they were written by, and B, were they accepted lehalacha, and C, what is the realm that they're referring to? Because otherwise, again, ein ladover sof. Ein ladover sof. In other words, there are certain Jewish parts of the Jewish community that their dignity will be above anything. Namely, the worst thing one could possibly do in such a community is that they would feel an insult. So does that mean that they were going to have different halachos? If they're going to feel an insult if you were to tell them that they can do X at a wedding or they can't do X at a wedding, or do you say this is these are the halachos and we'll try and work within them? There is a category of kavod habrios, and clearly Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach was a master of kavod habrios, of sensitivity. But one has to determine, Rav Shlomo Zalman Aruch never would have said you can give aliyos to women because of Kavod HaBrios, which Rabbi Sperber does say. Okay. I'll just finish it. There were three topics. So one was grumma. So that I just tried to give you the broader perspective. The second is Onik Shabbos. And the third, which was the most fascinating to me, was the new technology of modulating currents, because basically what was being presented is that we can get around all the issues of Shabbos, Doraisa and Rabbanan. Namely, in modulating currents, there is no mavir, and there is no bona, and there is no nolad, because the current was there from before Shabbos. That's a fascinating concept, that via modulating currents, you can pretty much do almost anything that you want if you set up the modulating currents in the right way. That was the metal detectors with the modulating currents and the flashlight, and then moving over to the computer. And once you have the computer, so then the sky is the limit as to what you can do with modulating currents and the doors, electromagnetism, v'chulei. Here, this is really has to be al shulchan melachim. So he pointed out that Rav Asher Weiss felt that just a minute. In other words. Okay, so we got around certain problems. Maybe we're creating new problems. Maybe this moves over into the realm of Makeh B'Patish. And again, I don't think Rav Asher Weiss said that in order to say it's Osir. But rather, he said in order to say, just a minute, in other words, we are accomplishing goals over here. In other words, that we are taking potential to actuality. And Lechor HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave the Torah, and Ramatas Avos Melachos, anticipated that we're going to have modulating currents. And B'cholzot wanted us to have a day of Shabbos and a Yom Menucha v'chule. So to use modulating currents in the hospital system instead of the grumma, that's a tremendous yitaron, because the grumma we saw is only if you understand grumma in the following manner. And even then, it's a malacha d'rabbanan. You know, it's, and over here we're dealing with that which is lechora, technologically, not technically not chilul Shabbos. So, you know, it's to use it in the situations that he mentioned. However, yitachein that we have over here, this is similar to the issue of we didn't get to it yet in the world of bishul with chemicals, namely that when you have the cans, that when you open the can, all of a sudden you cause a chemical reaction, and that which is in the can is now cooked. What exactly is that in terms of the world of bishul? And yitachein that midoraisa, it's nothing in the world of bishul. There's no bishul midoraisa. There's no fire. There's this may be the equivalent of bishul b'chama, which is mutter. But does that mean that therefore this is the way of heating things up? So there's a whole literature, and basically everyone says it's aser. Everyone scrambles for an iser. Why do they scramble for an iser? Because do you really want to be matir bishul b'shabbos in this manner? And then if we're going to have bishul via electromagnets, where there's no heat externally, only within the food itself, it's even even less than a microwave. In other words, the technology keeps moving. So then the question is whether we have other malachos that are involved. So basically, within the chemical reaction that causes bishul, also makke b'patish had been raised, at least makke b'patish on a drabonon plane. So this is bemet al shulchan malachim, also to decide at what point we have a problem of mechsi ke chilul Shabbos. If it's mechsi ke bishul, that's a category. Maybe so. This is mechsi ke mavir, mechsi ke bonim, mechsi ke nolad. And anyway, at what point would Rabbanan step in and say this is merci? At what point do we have are we crossing a line of uvda d'chol? These are all very, very real issues, because basically what was presented was that if you open the Pandora's box, then why limit it? The moment that you stress the fact that really that technically there's no Easter, okay, there's no Easter, so why limit it to hospitals? Why limit it to the army? Why limit it to security? So let's just go ahead and use it on a day-to-day basis. So that's a very, very, but it was a fascinating hamtza'ah. And again, if they move into that area and move off of Grumma, then I think that, you know, that they're on, that would be a tremendous step forward in terms of moving out of the realm of Doraisus and even out of the realm of certain drabbanans into a realm of that may be left to rabbanan to describe what would still be considered to be an assay of Shabbaton. Yes?
If Rosh Hashanah could be Makir Patish, that's already back to Doraisa. How's that better than Grandma?
I would find it hard to that he would call a Makir Patish Doraisa. You know, I assume that what he meant was this was a Makir Patish drabbanan. This is not exactly the. How one defines Makir B'Patish, you know, it's what cases would be called Makir B'Patish are questionable. But I my assumption is, again, I didn't see this in writing, just my knowledge. He said the Rav Asher Weiss mentioned this Baal Peh in Torah Umada Kinusin, or Halacha Umada Kinusin. But I'm not aware that it's been written up anywhere, so I don't know. Yes?
He quoted Rav Shlomo Zalman as saying that it was a problem of nolad. Use electricity. What exactly is the problem? Is it that you're inserting electricity into the object, or is it that the object is going from being not functional to becoming functional?
I understood the latter.
So if that's the case, I don't see why it's any different. If you're holding a flashlight the light is on, but it's not doing anything for you.
It's functional. That's the difference. Here
it's
it is functional.
Anything. It's
what?
Not functional. If the light's not doing anything, I held the flashlight, it wasn't going to create any light for me. If I'm in a dark room and I'm holding this flashlight and it's at the luminescence that it's at right now, it's not doing anything.
Uh-huh.
And then I put my hand on it, and it
gets
big.
You're saying. So let's take the other side of your equation.
If
the other side of the equation means that you are introducing electricity
into... By definition,
into
putting electricity is no...
Into...
Why?
Creating the circuit.
No, that's bona.
That's bona. Over here, nolad
is... I think I'm saying the same thing as the Makir Patish word. I think it's the same.
It's right.
Just nolad is Makir Patish.
Drabbana.
Okay.
I think so. I hear what you're saying.
I'm like holding the slash, I'm like, it's not going to do anything right now.
I think that's what Rav Asher Weiss had in mind. I mean, you're taking something from its potential to its actual. Right?
That's the thing, just on those lines. If he was willing to override Grumma for Onik Shabbos, why not nolad as well? I mean, why not just drop the whole thing and say no? I mean, it's Darbona, so.
So, but here we see Grom as Mutter.
So.
Whereas, no, we don't say Nolad Mutter.
Grama is asa drabon, and it's muter in situations of chola. Nolad also, we have that nolad is also muter in cases of hefsed meruba. That respect it also. But I hear what you're saying. Yes?
In the case where you have an older person.
Excuse me, just in terms, he actually did say that, in other words, well, he claimed that the modulating circuits would be muter for Onik Shabbos of the woman who was afraid of falling.
Right.
Right? So he said that her Onik Shabbos would allow for the modulating circuits.
No, I'm asking, why don't we say that Onik Shabbos is enough to beat an Issa D'Rabbanan even without the drama? To beat Nola, let's say. Onik Shabbos. Right.
Why should it only be matir grama as opposed to being matir that's certainly a very proper question to ask. And he just sort of assumed in his language that we have a pyramid, and on top we have doraisa, and then you have divrei kabbalah, and then you have drabanan, and each stage can nullify the stage underneath it. So that's not necessarily the case when it comes to covenant on the Shabbos. Yes.
The world understand the case when barrels fire, the barrels were there before the fire started.
No.
So why is that? Why is that mutter?
According to Rav Soloveitchik.
Yeah.
What's mutter is that the pu'ula of that the kibui is there's nothing going on the level of kibui when you're doing the malacha. You're doing a maisa in an area where there is in a neutral area. It's not as though you have electricity which is currently moving something in a circle and taking advantage of that circular motion by creating a grama. The you're dealing simply in a tabula rasa. There's nothing going on currently when you put those barrels up. And then, so chamalavo, when the fire will reach it, that's when you're going to have a malacha.
Also, isn't there another thing about rolling the barrels down a hill for the fire, which was awesome?
That could be a maisa, that's your koach.
So, why is, but according to the approach that if there's a delay, that's called rama?
No, so that was the domino. The domino is that if we're dealing over here, you're shooting an arrow, so clearly by the time the arrow, or you shoot a cannon, the 5 minutes later that there's going to be an explosion, that's considered to be a hemshech of the koach. That's one hemshech of the koach. Yes?
Just according to Lakshar Rabbi Yashiv, people, if we didn't have tzomet, what would we do in hospitals?
What was always done?
What was done was
Amira La'akum, right? And if that isn't possible, and you do the pikuach nefesh, so you do malachos. So you do klachar yad. So you do what the Chafetz Chaim did in the Russian army. So you write a sefer called Nitchei Yisrael. You tell people how to do malachos. Shnaim shasuhu klachar yad. You try to get down to a drabanan. And hu hadin, you could be mamtzi your own grama, not have a grama machine. In other words, that you can, in other words, simply come up with your own patent for yourself of how to do it via grama, rather than having a patent. Yes?
Would we also apply the same to the Shabbos clock?
Sorry, what?
Being a patent for Shabbos clock, we also say that Shabbos clock is also considered as a setup of grama.
The Shabbos clock was made to be set from Erev Shabbos. You just got stuck in a situation where when you set it from Erev Shabbos, something went wiry, something went wrong. There was all of a sudden, you put the pin in the wrong place. That was set up Erev Shabbos. You're allowed, in other words, these things were made to use on Shabbos to make the grama on Shabbos.
Just a clarifier of Elashavis. In production, a professor was able to come up with a machine. The point is that it's a machine, even if it's private.
It's this box was made to take advantage of grama. So then that's not long, that according to Rabbi Yoshev is no longer grama.
In the situation where you have an older person using the scooter every day to get to the shul on Shabbos, he won't be able to use it also.
So again, so the Rav who gave the presentation said that in Tzomet they view it that what a person does every day, that would be considered to be his onik Shabbos. that's certainly a valid approach. I'm just pointing out it may not be the only approach of how to define Onik Shabbos, or it may not be, in other words, in Achinami, certainly, there's no question that a person is going to get Onik Shabbos being in shul. The question is as to whether Onik Shabbos per se is enough of a hetter to allow a person to use a scooter. So, of course, what happened before there were so many scooters? So an older person would be put by his grandson into a wheelchair and wheeled to shul. You need a grandson, or you have to pay someone, or you have a Filipino. You wheel to shul. In other words, then you deal with the issues of the wheels and the ground, etc. So you're not over choration, you're not over bechule, and that's the way people came to shul. It's not a question either you have a scooter or you have nothing. It's not a question either you have a scooter or you stay in the house. It's a question the scooter gives the person a certain degree of independence. He doesn't need a Filipino. He doesn't need a grandson. He feels the sense that I am, you know, a certain sense of kavanabrios, of dignity, that I am in charge. It's a question of weighing values. So the moment you're starting off that vade we have over here in Isur Drabon of Grumma, but Onik Shabbos is going to override the Isur Drabon, and is that really enough of an Onik Shabbos to override an Isur Drabon? In the case of the modulation, we're doing a level of heter, that could be a different issue. But then again, the Rabbanim nowadays have to make a decision as to what are going to be the criteria for the heterim. Okay, last question, I have to run, okay?
You mentioned that it was very hard to get a kid there for the medicine, where everything wasn't seen to be happy with that assumption that you can't get the kid there on time. Can you elaborate on that?
That's a question of chinuch. I really, really, really believe that you can tell a child, look, it's Shabbos, and because it's Shabbos, you know, where it's, we can only do this at this time, and therefore this is what we expect. You know, like why is this different than any other aspect?
We used to wake them up.
Of Shabbos. Father, you wake up. And like, what's the, you know, it's Shabbos. It's Shabbos. And so you have a Shabbos clock that allows you. I mean, something to do the other way around. Baruch Hashem, we have this Shabbos clock that we set before Shabbos to allow the child to inhale on Shabbos. But it's only at certain times. So you just tell the child, I'm going to have to, you know, you tell him in advance, you prepare him. I'm going to wake you up at night because we have to use this machine and it can only be done at this time. That's all. All of chinuch is a question of being able to take a step back from what one likes to do to what the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants a person to do. It was very jarring to me. I'm sorry. Okay, but it was a very fascinating presentation, and demet kol hakavod to people who have in mind to be able to be matzil Klal Yisrael to be able to allow Klal Yisrael to be shomer Shabbos Gilchas Baruch Hashem.
The suggestion that I gave him, I didn't really, I mean, I was looking at a situation that is not above 9 months. So he has a button that works, you know, between 1 and 10 seconds.